Being an optimist doesn't mean, you know, always wearing rose-colored glasses and pretending that nothing is wrong. It's more about being able to see the good. And here's the good news. If you're not a naturally optimistic person, you can actually learn how to be. You can learn how to be happier. Dr. Jillian Mandich can show us how. She is a happiness researcher and expert, and she joins us once again now. Hello, Jillian.
Hello, Natasha. How are you?
I'm well. I feel like it's been a long time since we've spoken.
I know. I don't have a really good sense of time right now. I don't know about you, but I feel
right?
like the fastest slow year we've ever had.
Okay, so that's kind of the problem. I keep saying that. It's sort of like time is whizzing by and standing still at the same time. And, you know, we've been saying we're stuck in Groundhog Day, right? So, and especially these, like, you know, middle of the winter doldrums. It's a nice sunny day here today, blue sky, but you still can't kind of help but feel a certain amount of heaviness. So where do you begin? Like, how do you find the good in things when you just don't, you know, you're feeling like everything is going poorly?
Yeah, you know, this is definitely something that's real for myself and for most Canadians right now, because we've never had to live through a global pandemic before. And not only that, most of us have never actually even been taught how to be happy, right? Even in school, we learned math and science, but nobody taught us. And so now here we are, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And so I think one of the keys is really understanding that, one, the goal is not to be happy all the time. I think this is a conversation that we really need to have a lot more right now, because sometimes if we're not feeling happier, we're feeling a wide range of emotions, many of which we've experienced throughout this past year that are more challenging, like anxiety or feeling really down or glum or blue. Sometimes we feel like we have to be happy all the time. When we're not, we feel like we're doing something wrong. And that is not the case. You know, we really need that spectrum of emotions in order to experience it, right? Like, if you think back into some of the more challenging times in your life, even, and then you look at how you came out the other end with new skills, you were resilient when you didn't think you could, even when we all had to go into lockdown, we figured out how to work from home, how to homeschool. It's not always easy and it's not a smooth process, but we were resilient people. And so one of the things is really knowing, one, the goal is not to be happy all the time. And then two, that when we think about happiness, oftentimes we think the big shiny moments of our life are the times that bring us the most happiness. So we think about the weddings, the birthday parties, the big graduations, the proms, when in reality, research teaches us that it's the small moments throughout the day that actually add up to a happier life. And I mean small in terms of time, not small in terms of impact. It's those taking time in the morning to have coffee and to spend time with your kids, reading stories to your kids before bed. Those things, those little opportunities throughout the day where we can have those small bursts are actually more impactful in our overall happiness.
You know what I love about that in particular, Jillian, is how attainable that is, right? Like, I think when we think about happiness, like you said, we think about those big moments, but also when we think about what would make us happy, we also gravitate towards those big moments. So I love that sort of breaking it down and making it really small. Like, what's better than a fantastic cup of coffee? Like, how much joy?
You know, I will say that one of the things I have noticed in the past year, in terms of, because I talk about happiness all day, every day, so the conversations that I've been having, the questions that I've been asked, and I've been doing online stuff these days, one of the shifts is people are now telling me how happy it was that they were able to go outside for a walk, how wonderful it was that they were able to see a friend, or whether that be virtually or whatever. Whereas a year ago, those weren't the conversations that were happening. I think a lot of this past year has really helped us to shift into focus. What truly are our priorities? What are the things that we actually really want to enjoy and appreciate? And we may have taken them for granted, say, about a year ago or so, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking again, like, you know, you're fixated on, I want a new car or I want a better job, when you realize like that really what makes you feel better is maybe you'll walk around the block right now, and it gets very simple, right? But so what's the trick to hold on to that? Because I certainly feel like we're in a very yo-yo period, right? You're like, ooh, the sun is shining. Oh, everything sucks.
Yeah, and this is very common. We're seeing that a lot right now. But one of the things that we can all do is what we call savoring. So this is a research, we call it savoring. If you were looking on Instagram at a quote card, it would say, stop and smell the roses. So it's the same idea, where it's really about taking time to increase either the intensity or the duration or the appreciation of a positive experience or our emotions. So it's really just looking at the good things in our life. And they can be anything from, you know, a flower arrangement that you brought home, or like we talked about, a cup of coffee, or the sun shining out on your face, things. And we, instead of just letting them pass us by, we take time to intentionally focus on them and sort of amplify or acknowledge those things. And what's really cool is that doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't cost any money. And research shows that when we take time to savor every single day, we see increases not only in our happiness, but even things like self-confidence, self-esteem, and hopefulness. And so this is something we can all do. If, you know, we commit to 2 or 3 times a day, and if you can't remember, set a reminder on your phone, have the alarm go off, and then look for something around you to savor. You know, that's a good way to start getting into that habit. And then as you start to appreciate things, what's really interesting is that you start to appreciate more things. So that's a really easy habit that we can all get into, to look around and find things we already have around us that we enjoy.
Again, you always give me so much food for thought, but right away what's going through my head is how, you know, they say negativity is contagious. Like people just get on board. Yeah, I hate that too. And remember, so is positivity. Mm-hmm. The same thing can happen in reverse. We're speaking with Dr. Jillian Mandich. She is a happiness expert, happiness researcher. I think something that people get themselves very worked up about, I will include myself in this, is the sort of the inability to say no, even when you know, okay, you know where I'm going with this. How do we cut that out?
I'm in that camp too.
Yeah?
I'd like to think I'm moving out of that camp.
Me too. We're a work in progress, right, Jillian? Yeah.
Exactly, Natasha. And I think this is a key piece of this, is whenever we have awareness around something that we want to change, that's the first step, because we can't change what we don't know. So, you know, we're sitting here saying, okay, we need to learn to say no a lot more than we do. And it often comes from a very good place, because we want to help other people. We want to do things. But the challenge is sometimes when we say no to other people, we're really saying no to us, or to our own time, or to our priorities, or to. And so when I, for myself, I've like broken it down into a 3-step process, because I'm one of those people that I need to like follow steps until I can actually do it. And so step number one is just preparing to say no and recognizing that it's easier to do it when you're ready to do it. And then you actually have to say no. And there's a variety of different ways you can do that. You know, we can be vague but clear. You know, thanks for asking, but unfortunately I can't do that right now, right? Where we don't give specific answers.
Yes.
Or, you know, making it, if it's not personal, like for myself right now, I'm writing a book right now. So if someone asked me for an interview request, I might say, thank you for asking, I really appreciate it, but right now I'm focusing on my book, so I'm not doing interviews, which I am, because I'm procrastinating my book. So or there's different ways, being grateful, being really kind, but it's really important to be clear with the no. So it's not a let's circle back in a week kind of thing.
Yes.
You say the no and then you let it go. You don't let back, because research teaches us, right, that when we make a decision and we stick to it, we're much more likely to be happy than if we keep going back in our mind, well, should I have done this? Should I have done that?
And it feels good. I mean, that's the thing that I'm finding. I'm like, whenever I'm able to, I'm not always able to do it, but when I am able to say no, I'm like, ooh, look at me. I said no. The last thing I want to ask you before, because we're going to run out of time here, Jillian, some people are, you know, struggling on a whole other level. Like maybe they've lost a loved one to COVID-19. Yeah. They don't have a job, you know, a business that's gone under. What advice do you have for them to try to find happiness?
You know, I think number one is to know that we're not alone, and we're all experiencing different things in this pandemic, but we're all experiencing difficult things. And so reaching out, there is absolutely support available. The Canadian Mental Health Association is a great resource. They have local chapters all across the country, and they are a great way to help navigate to get different resources that are available. Reaching out to a friend, having those conversations, and then also, as a friend, reaching out to other people, whether it's friends or family members, and trying to get the conversation beyond, hi, how are you? I'm fine.
Yes.
You know, really opening up that conversation. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to talk about those things, but know that you're not alone. And there really is a lot of help and a lot of resources out there. So nobody has to suffer alone.
Excellent advice, as always. I can't wait to hear more about your book. Thank you so much for your time today, Jillian.
Thanks, Natasha. Have a great day.